Welcome to Ambiance Podcast. This is episode 55. My name is Levi, and today's episode features a guy that I've personally known since he was a child. We got Drew Venegas stepping into the studio. He is an extremely talented dancer and choreographer out of West Covina, California. Being able to witness him grow into the man that he is today and find his passion is really just a beautiful thing to see. This kid is young, talented, hungry, and has made major moves in the world of dance in just the short amount of years that he's been dancing for one of the top studios in the US, which is The Lab, located in West Covina. Let's go ahead and get into this. Here is episode 55 of Ambiance Podcast with Drew Venegas.
What up, y'all? It's Drew from The Lab. You're listening to Ambiance Studios. Let's get it.
What up, people? Welcome to Ambiance Podcast, special late night edition with my boy Andrew Venegas sitting to the right of me.
What's good, y'all?
He is a dancer and choreographer out of West Covina, California, which is my hometown. It's good to see you, bro.
You too, cool.
It's been a minute. For you guys listening and watching that don't know, I have known Andrew Venegas since he was a wee little boy. I think
literally,
when you were like 7 or 8. So yeah. I played football with his brother growing up. His dad was a coach. His mom was athletic director. Your little sister was like a cheerleader. Man, so it's good as hell to see you, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank
and
you,
where you're at in your life today, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely been crazy growing up and like going from being a little boy and seeing my brother and his older friends just like have fun and like me just like being inspired and just like wishing like, dang, can't wait to get older. And then now I'm like older and it's like,
yeah,
weird. It's like, whoa.
And you're a middle child too, right?
Yeah.
How's it to be like a middle child? How's that been growing up for you?
I think at times I don't want to say I got paid attention to most of the time, but I think more of that happening was because I was like the bad one.
You were the bad one, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
I was the bad one.
You're a little troublemaker.
Like, I was a troublemaker, so I feel like that was why they were always having to pay attention, hold my hand throughout everything. But they taught me a lot. But I think I was such a curious kid about just everything, you know, growing up. Like, they had to hold my hand. I think without that, I probably would have ended off doing dumb stuff,
right? You know? Yeah, you had good guidance.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Because that's one thing I will say about you. You've always had a lot of energy, even since you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have like important good people around you, like your parents or like your siblings,
to check me.
Yeah, and to guide you too, because like you said, you could end up using that energy in like the wrong way, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, because even if intentionally, like I don't know that I'm acting like that or going off track, like think I'm okay and reassured that I'm fine because of the people I'm around and surround myself around.
Yeah.
But I'd have to realize, like, and I realized growing up, like, if I want to be around certain people that aren't growing like I'm trying to grow, then we're just going to stay in the same spot. So we're going to be complacent and we're going to keep doing the same stuff. So my parents stepped in, like, noticed, you know, I wasn't stepping up and doing the stuff I needed to do when it comes to just responsibilities, normal life stuff. So they told me, they're like, your friends aren't really your friends, you know? And I was just like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, they are. And I'm like, they're not. And like, you'll realize it one day.
At what age were they telling you that type of stuff?
They were telling me that like my junior, senior year. And I never really realized that. But a lot of that did have to come from me fully not like, I guess like, I guess being fully 100% with myself, and like, I guess I was always trying to fit in, you know, like act a certain way with certain people, certain groups, you know, try to fit in and like impress people, like, especially when I joined the dance team, like just trying to like give a lot more energy, be this type of person to kind of make them feel like, oh, he's like cool, you know?
Okay, so back then that's what you were doing it for.
That's what I was doing.
We're gonna get into that as well, but I love the fact that you're doing like such amazing and big things, and you're coming from West Covina. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people from West Covina, I'm not throwing shade on the city at all because I love West Covina, I love everybody in it, but I feel like for some reason the dynamic of the city gets people trapped and kind of almost makes them like stay or live a more of like a small-minded lifestyle, you know what I mean?
No, I feel that for sure.
So it's good to know that like you're doing big things and you're going to continue to do big things. You're not getting stuck in that weird West Covina city dynamic, you know?
Right. I know, because I have a lot of friends that like literally, like, that's where they're at right now. I mean, they're stuck, you know? And that's okay. Like, they're on their own journey. They're on their own time. And eventually, they'll find their niche or whatever that comes with. But, you know, like, it sucks to, like, see people that have such good talent or see just passions, things that they're passionate about, and not
act on them.
Yeah, act on pursue them. Pursue them. Because, like, shoot, I would want to be able to, like, what's it called? Tag along or do a collaboration with them. And
certain, yeah. Like we're doing stuff. Right
yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Yeah, or two kids from West Covina.
But, you know, being stuck, and then also people have talent, being surrounded by people that wish they had talent holds them back and makes them not succeed and, you know, venture out doing the stuff they want to do.
Very true. Have you always had these big dreams, like, since you were a kid? Or were you not even really thinking about stuff like this when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, honestly, I think that's the first thing that I thought about before, like, right away. Like, when it came to, like, what I was doing at home when I was bored or in general as a kid, like, it was music. It was, like, I want to be a superstar. I want to be a rock star. I want to be, like, Chris Brown. Like,
you loved the spotlight back then. You wanted to be in the spotlight.
Like, I love the center of attention. I love, like, that feeling of making people feel pleased or, like, feel like, you know, they're having fun.
Yeah.
Just enjoying their time. Like, I like people to enjoy the time more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's people like that where you want to, if you don't want to be the only one having fun, you want to make sure everyone's around you having fun.
Yeah, because even if, like, everyone's having fun, like, I like to be that light and energy that keeps that, you know, energy up and keeps it consistent.
Yeah.
Because you'll catch people that, like, will look at you and be like, all right, this guy, like, you know. But that comes with them not fully being confident with themselves, and they're still trying
their
to figure
own
out
insecurities.
Yeah, their
or...
own insecurities, you know, so.
I hear you. Man, so how did you even get into dance? Because when I knew you when you were a kid, it was just, like, sports, you know what
sports,
I mean?
You
had a big sports family. So what introduced you to the realm of dancing, and what was that, like, first spark of interest for you?
Honestly, like, I grew up, literally, sports is, like, still in my blood. Like, if I had the chance to, like, play football, play, like, soccer, play basketball, baseball, like, I literally would.
Oh, really?
Like, if I got the chance, and obviously, like, things aren't just thrown out in opportunities, I won't get a spot like that. You have to definitely go to school
and
do stuff.
Andrew Venegas in the NFL.
Right. Imagine. Shoot. But, yeah, like, literally, I think it was my eighth grade year, I transferred to a different pre-high elementary school, which is Holmcrest in West Co. And I actually saw one of my friends in math class that I used to play basketball with. I think, like, 2 years prior to that.
Okay.
To eighth grade. And I was like, yo, like, oh no, sorry. I played basketball with him in eighth grade when I transferred there. Played basketball with him. We were good friends for a long time. And then I transferred to Bishop Vermont my freshman year. And then we were not friends anymore because he went to a different school.
Yeah.
And then I played basketball, football. I did track and soccer there too. And then after that, we were, my parents told me that, like, you know, like, look, like, we don't know if this school is fully, like, right for you. Like, obviously, like, academically, like, I told them too, like, they knew I wasn't fully for academic, like, you know, school was hard for me.
It's a private school. For you guys listening, Bishop Vermont is, like, a private school in La Puente.
Yeah, there was classes in there that had to do with, like, you know, like, religion classes and all that stuff. And, like, the first day, I remember, like, our teacher was, like, asking us a bunch of questions, and, like, everybody had their hands raised, and I was, like, the only one, like, who's Isaiah? Who's this person? Like, who? How? Why did you guys know all these answers? I was like, what the heck?
You felt, like, out of place, would you say?
Yeah, it was hard. Like, I had a bad grade that class, like, the whole year, and I tried so hard. Like,
damn.
I even had, like, what's it called? A study group that I even went to at school, and I still, like, it was so hard.
Damn.
Like, you definitely have to know the Bible and, like, grow up, like, learning it to understand everything.
I'm sure there was kids that have been going to, like, Bible study or just, were groomed to go to that high school, you know what I mean, before they went there.
They all had their, what is it called, their first communion.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I never had that.
Okay, so you
didn't have that.
You're kind of going in set back.
Yeah, but okay. The only thing that kept me there was literally the sports, because, like, I was on the soccer team. I was on varsity my freshman year, and I got pretty good at my playing time just as a freshman, and I was the only freshman on the team.
Wow.
There was no sophomores at all or freshmen besides me, just juniors and seniors. And only seniors started, I think, because they were freaking good that year. And I played over the juniors.
Damn.
So it was crazy. Like, soccer was my sport. I think out of all sports I played, soccer was definitely it. But transferred my sophomore year to West Co, and then decided just to take a year off of sports and just focus on school because I wasn't doing too well. I wanted to just, like, kind of get myself in a structurized, like, you know, zone.
Yeah.
Stay on a good consistent pace. And then out of nowhere, I saw my friend in math class, my friend Ralph, that I played basketball with. And I was like, yo, bro. I was like, you still playing basketball? He was like, no, I actually dance now. I was like, what? You dance? And I was like, bro, like, what do you mean? Like, that ballet stuff. I'm like, what? No, like, why? Like, you were so good at basketball. He was like, bro, like, trust me. Like, we have a rally coming up, like, this week. Like, wait till you see it. We're performing. Like, it's crazy. Like, do, like, hip-hop stuff. Like,
so at that time, you didn't know the difference between, like, what the different types of dancing
is? I've heard of dance before, but I haven't heard of that through movies, like Step Up. Like, I thought that stuff only happened in movies type of stuff. Okay. Like, I didn't know, like, they had competitions, like, there was dance classes. Like, I had no idea any of that existed. Choreographers, like, anything in the dance realm, I had no idea existed.
Wow.
So, like, literally, he showed me, and told me about the dance team, and I was like, whoa. Like, that rally, like, it was a performance. Like, I was, like, mind blown. I was like, whoa. Like, everyone's screaming for them, like...
Those were badass.
Yeah. I was like, damn, they look tight. I was like, yeah, I want to be one of them, like... And I love dancing, so I was like, hell yeah, like, that looks sick. Like, especially because I've always had, I always, like, not freestyle in a sense. Like, when I, you know how people, like, hear music, they just dance, whatever they feel. I've always done that necessarily, but, like, fully, obviously, I'm not experienced enough to where I fully know how to control my body before. So I didn't, you know, know how to do certain things. But when I saw it, I was like, whoa, I was like, I can see myself doing that.
Like, you saw yourself, like, on that stage.
Yeah, like, I saw myself feeling it, like, how they're feeling the music and, like, letting the way, like, they're letting their emotions be released through dance moves. Like, I feel like that was another outlet that I can use that I've been needing. Because sports have always been my outlet for, you know, letting out aggression, like, whatever type of feeling I'm feeling. But just watching them, I feel like I felt what they were feeling.
Okay.
So I never felt like that feeling ever. I was like, whoa, like, I got goosebumps. Like,
wow.
I want to give this feeling to people. Like, I want to be able to show people how I feel. So, like, literally, I got connected, and literally, I asked my homie. I was like, yo, I was like, how do I audition? He was like, well, we're not having auditions because the beginning of the year is actually competition. So, we train all during summer. So, you would have to have joined during summer. So, you can. I was like, fuck, like, I need a join. So, I, like, did everything I could, and, like, I ended up hanging out with him and his squad, like, throughout the whole time because I didn't know anybody. So, of course, like, my friend was like, of course you can join, chill with us. So I got to know all them, all the dancers, and then most of the dancers ended up talking to the captain, and they ended up hosting an audition, and they hosted it for the whole school, and there was 30 people that came, and I was the only one that made it.
Wow, was it that hard to make the team?
No, I think they only just wanted me.
I love that, they only just wanted you.
Yeah, in a sense, like, they knew, like, I was what they're looking for, because that audition, they posted, they said this audition is strictly if you're competition ready. We're not gonna take you. If you're ready, you are able to be on stage and perform with these people. So,
but did you have any prior training to audition?
See, that's the thing. I didn't, but I had time. I had like 3 weeks before the audition. I took classes. I would train. I took like 2 classes a day.
So you just went super hard for those 3 weeks.
I went super hard and like trained my ass off.
Wow.
And after, this was after making the team. They were like, in 3 weeks, we have evaluations. If you're not up to par, then you're cut. That's what it is. So I made the audition, made the team. Then they told me about evaluations. If I'm not ready, if I can't dance with this person, they told me, they said, you're tall as hell and he's tall as hell. So you have to be his counter. He has a lot more experience than you. So you have to be able to dance up to his level.
Wow.
I was like, whew, all right. So I had to do everything I took. And I'm the type, like, you know me, like, we're both the same. Like, if I see someone else do something, like, I'm not going to let them be better.
It's that competitive spirit in you, yeah.
So I think that's, I use their, literally, talent as inspiration and motivation to be not better than them, but to get myself to where they are. But once I'm at, you know, their level, I'm going to benefit myself and take myself further and use that deep connection that I've been looking for and searching for to just finally, you know, let go.
Yeah, so that's how you first got introduced to dancing, specifically hip-hop dancing.
Yeah, and I made it. And then after that, it's been boom.
It's like, been boom ever since?
Skyrocketed, literally. After I made the team and did comp that first year, like, dance was my thing, like, every single day.
Let me ask you a question. Did you get, like, you made the team, did you feel like you found your it, like, quote-unquote, like, you found that thing that is your passion that you've been missing for so long? Because you kind of mentioned that before, but did you know that was it for you, or did you kind of...
I fully knew when I made the team on audition day. When I found out that... When I found out I made the team, when I got the text message, you have made the team, I was like, wow. like
you were, because you were already interested, but you're like, now is it's like, on
even
now.
Even once I auditioned, before I even found out I made the team, like after the audition day, like I remember I learned the choreo, I did it all. I didn't mess up on one move. Like I felt it and I was going in. Like I may have, like, you know, looked awkward on some parts, but I was giving facials, like everything, performance, like I was just having fun. And like I didn't pay attention to the people in front of me, like the coaches, like, and they were hella intimidating. Like,
oh yeah,
hella intimidating. We're in a
room, straight face, like,
yeah, like if I'm dancing right here, probably where the camera's at is where the table's at. We have to dance this close to them. So they're just staring at you, like you have to do it. And it's like 2x2. Like two people at a time,
and you're so new at it.
Yeah, like, so and the person I did it next to didn't know it, and was messing up the whole time. So I had to like not pay attention to him in the mirror, or else I would have messed up. But I didn't mess up at all, and I was literally the only one that made it.
Wow,
it's crazy.
So at this point, how old were you?
I was 15.
15 years old, 15. Like, freshman, sophomore in high school, right? Okay, so after that, when did things start really like elevating for you, as far as just like, because I know you joined the lab, right? Mm-hmm. So what was the next step for you in your dance career after that?
I think honestly, right when I joined the dance team, luckily the dance team for the school was actually a collaboration slash like times the lab. So the coaches were hot, like the school paid the directors from the lab to coach the team. So
at Bishop Beaumont?
At West Covina.
At West Covina, because this is when you went to West Covina. Okay, got you.
Yeah, so literally when I went to West Covina, we were collaborating with the lab, so we got to train at the lab.
Wow, shout out to the lab, man, because that's a great thing to be involved in the community, to get the youth involved in dancing. You know what I mean? Because not a lot of high schools do that.
Mm-hmm. And they've been building like the foundation that they've built, like now, like in the way they structurize and handle everything is like beyond the roof, and like it's definitely been years to come for like what they have now, because they started like 3-4 studios like ago. Like
I remember that. Yeah, they have that. Obviously, I think they're in the same space by the Food for Less.
Yeah,
because so, I lived right there growing up. So like I saw when they were first building it. And I was like, what is this thing? Walk by every now and then. I'm just like, every time I walk by it, it's just popping now. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, especially like my director Val. She started off in her garage, literally starting off when she first wanted to start choreographing. And she told her dad like, look, I want to start choreographing. Like, I'm gonna build the funds, and once I build enough funds, I'm gonna show you. But I'm gonna build those funds by getting enough people and like enough around like same students like consistently.
Yeah.
She said if I could get enough students consistently and show you that they'll stick with me, can I get a small studio space? And then he's like, all right, you can start off in your garage. So she had a bunch of people consistently that would come in her garage, and she'd have privates with them through her garage.
Wow.
She built enough money, showed him, got a small studio, went there, got bigger, 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 and she now, like, she built this whole empire.
That's inspirational. Yeah. How long has the lab been open?
I think it's been open for, like, I think throughout this whole thing, I think, like, 10 years.
10 years, wow.
Yeah, but before, I think, like, 5 years ago, I think before I joined the lab, it wasn't called the lab, it was called something else before, but
okay.
I can't really remember, but, yeah, it's been a long time. So, like, luckily, when I came, I feel like the way I leveled up fast and the way I got experience like pretty quickly.
Yeah,
in a sense. Like
you have.
Literally, like I was on comp team, and I went to this competition called HHI, and I only had 1 year of dancing training.
So this was when you were like 16.
16, yeah. And then literally, this is like the almost like kind of like the Olympics of dance, and 60 countries from around the world, like, all come, and the best, they take the top three of the best like teams around the world. And literally, these top teams could be as good as you. And we won first place.
Did you realize how good you were, or did you start like winning competitions like this and start like getting recognized, and that made you realize how good you are? Which one was it?
Honestly, I feel like I really never looked at myself as being good in a sense. I feel like I've always looked at myself, even now, like I feel like I look at myself as just growing in a sense, because I feel like there's never time to settle, and you should never be complacent where you're at, because even myself, like, I still have stuff to learn. Even teaching my students, like, even when I teach and I'm the teacher, I'm still learning from my students when I teach them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes these students have really good work ethic and they train really, really good. So when I take class, I could be like, wow, this person did really, really good. Like, that motivates me to be a better student when I take class from someone else.
So, like, do you still take classes from other people?
Yeah, choreographers, as a choreographer, you need to take class, because the more training you get is better for yourself. You're learning. It's good to be versatile when it comes to styles, because learning different styles helps you improve just different, like, the, you know, like, the versatility.
Yeah, versatile.
Yeah. Especially like me, I'm more of like a wavy, kind of like R&B, soulful, like expression type of person. So literally, like, with that, it helps me, I guess, express a different side of myself.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, it's crazy. Just the way it works. Like,
yeah, and I think that's very important, what you just said, the fact that you still take classes, because I feel like a lot of people need to hear that. Just because you may be great at what you do, you can never stop growing, you can never stop learning. I think I heard something with, where, like, Denzel Washington still takes acting classes, you know, and he is one of the best actors in the world.
Right.
If he can still take acting classes, like, who's gonna teach Denzel Washington how to act, right?
Right.
But
yeah,
he takes the classes because he wants to get better, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people don't realize, like, if, think about this, like, if I'm an artist, if I'm a singer, if I want to rap or sing to a beat that I've never heard before, I'm going to feel uncomfortable with it. So if I want to get, but if I feel it, but I can't catch a vibe with it, I got to practice more on that type of vibe and those type of sounds in order to feel comfortable and freestyle and get to the point where I can make music to it.
Yeah.
So for me, choreographing, I have to take classes from different people that teach to these songs that I want to choreograph to understand how to choreograph to it.
Got you.
Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
yeah, it does.
Yeah, so I have to learn how they create, how they process things, how they move to these certain sounds so I can.
That's crazy, man. There's a lot that goes into it that people from the outside world don't realize, because, like, obviously I don't know that much about dance, so as the average person, it's just like, you don't realize how many factors come into play here. There's a lot, right?
It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm still learning, like, especially, like, me being a young choreographer and, like, with the amount of years I have that I've been dancing, like, it's very easy for me to be looked at in a different way, only because I don't have as many years as they have, you know, experience-wise. Like, especially when I teach, like, I need to make sure I'm teaching with the right structure, whatever moves that are culture-based, like, I need to make sure I teach it and say that this is from this is from that, because people from outside were like, they could come at me in a different way and be like, you taught this, but you're not saying that this is part of our culture, or this is a dance move from Afro, or, you know, like, that type of stuff. Like, that just shows that you're saying that that's your move, you made that, but really this is a move that we culturally have danced together for our own love and, like, for passion, just, like, this is what we do for, like, for culture.
Yeah
So, like, people could get, like hurt over that, and, like, you could be looked at a different way.
You could disrespect people.
You could very easily disrespect people.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So you have to know knowledge wise as well when you're teaching. So I have to
That's
make sure
crazy.
When I talk, and especially if I'm in a group or people, or, like, people that are choreographers that are older than me come to take my class, I need to make sure that I'm not, you know, on some
stepping
little,
on their
little
toes.
Kid
stuff. Oh, I got
little
you.
Kid
yeah.
type of stuff. Like, I need to talk and, like, a big boy and make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Wow, man, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's the scary part of being a teacher and a choreographer with so many years of dancing.
Yeah, and do you ever think about that? Because you're only 21, right? Mm-hmm. So you just turned 21 too. So you're super young. Do you think about, like, the amount of success that you have right now in your craft, and just how much longer you have to go at this, and just, like, how much better you can be? It's got to be exciting.
No, it really is. And it's crazy too to, like, even know that, like, I'm only going to grow up from here, because literally, like, a year ago, I never had the mindset or told myself that I was going to get booked for tour or get hired to be a backup dancer, let alone a choreographer. And I got hit up by this artist called Dinah Jane. She was a part of Fifth Harmony. I don't know if you've heard of them before.
Yeah.
But she's part of Fifth Harmony. After they broke up, she obviously went single and everything. And yeah, she hit me up. She's young. She's 22. I think she's going to be 23 soon. Like, literally, like, she's a young artist. She hit me up out of nowhere. And this is me still dancing, still taking classes, still, like, choreographing to get myself better, not even so I can be at that level and dance behind people, like, artists and, like, you know, be a backup dancer. And I get hit up for it. And literally, she's like, I want I'm interested in having you choreograph for my tour. And I was just like, what? Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not ready. Like, what? Like, she's like, I've been looking for like a young, like a new generation from this, you know, this upcoming like industry in LA. Like, I want a new vibe. Like, I want someone young who's like different, but I don't want like anybody older who's been used before. Like, I want a new type of choreographer, someone new to get their hands like wet, you know? And she chose me, and like literally like a week later, I met up with her and the actual choreographer. So I got hired as her assistant choreographer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I'm literally, that's my title for her still. We're obviously in the low right now. We haven't really been doing stuff because of COVID, but we're eventually going to be going on a Europe tour, UK tour.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so I have that still coming up. That was supposed to hit in right before COVID started, but
it's still going to come.
Yeah, it's still coming. So I literally, after COVID, I still have a lot of big stuff that's still planned. I'm still going to be touring after COVID hits, so everything's going to be definitely more blessings to come. But
you've done like pretty big gigs, right? Like,
yeah, danced with Sierra, danced for BTS. It's a one of the
Korean,
the top Korean K-pop groups. Danced at Central Station.
That must have been crazy because they have a big fan base. So.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even just dancing, like seeing them in person, like they, it's crazy. Like, they're literally like, they're tight. Like,
really?
They're really, really cool. It's crazy, like K-pop artists, they all look like dolls. Like, just, they look like fake, like, it's crazy. But they're all like, they just have good genes. Like, their skin is crazy.
Yeah, they got good skincare over there, bro. Korean products, skincare.
Yeah, they're hella cool though. They're as much as like strict, you know, with like security and like them being, you know, as famous as they are and people being crazy as they are.
Yeah.
With them, like, they were really, really like family oriented, friend oriented with us, like
very friendly.
Yeah, very like try to hold conversation with us, like would say what's up, pound at us sometimes, like
they're not no big head.
Yeah, not in a sense big headed, but kind of like
egotistical or.
I think more so like you can't touch me, like we can't touch you, like just keep it at that, like.
Got you. You know, like not so business.
Yeah, not so it's more business related, not anything like fun.
Okay.
Wise, you know.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That.
Yeah, but yeah, they were really really cool. And there, we're actually supposed to go, I think, we're actually going tour with them too. I think before COVID hit too, they were supposed to go on a world tour, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But COVID hit, so that didn't go through. But literally, they still keep hitting us up for like certain projects. So I know in the future, we're definitely gonna still be involved with them. So that's super tight. Yeah, besides that, there was one more that was crazy. New Year's Eve, I performed at New York.
You performed in New York?
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
It was crazy, performing in front of a million people. Like,
was it like in Times Square?
Yeah, Times Square. Woo. Times Square, New Year's Eve.
Damn. Isn't it crazy, bro, where the fact that something that you love took you to an experience like that, being from like West Covina?
Like, it's crazy. It's really like, it puts me in awe. Like, I can't even pinpoint on a certain, like, on certain words that I can find to kind of describe that feeling. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Just waking up knowing all you gotta do is, like, teach and dance and, like, just chill out. And then they get to fly you back home. Like, you just do what you love.
Yeah.
Like,
and the fact that you're so young and things are moving so fast, I feel like you don't really get a chance to embrace it and to realize it in the moment. So I feel like it's one of those things where, like, if it hasn't already happened for you, like, you're gonna look back on these times and just be like, man, like, this, I was living the dream, you know?
No, and honestly, that's so true, because I still, like, I don't catch myself, like, looking back at what I've done and, like,
because you're so focused,
like,
on the future.
Yeah, like, still, like, what's next, you know? So it's like, now that I look back at it, even talking about it, I'm like, whoa.
That happened.
I've done a lot, like, and it's crazy to think about, because I feel like I've always been the type of person to never really find that reassurance where, like, okay, I'm doing good. Like, I know, like, I need to do better.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, bro, I remember the first time I even found out that you were dancing was because I was watching Shark Tank. I saw you on Shark Tank, bro.
I'm dead.
Cause you did something for one of their somebody's product or something.
Yeah, there's this little girl. She had these like socks, like that they made where I guess girls could pull them up if they want to wear boots. They had like a sock little pocket where your phone could go. So it was like, oh, like you could even dance and your phone will fall out. So like we had to put the socks on and everything. And we did, bro, the whole little thing.
The biggest trip in the world, because I mean, I had moved away. I think I was in college at that time, and lost touch with your family. Right. A little bit. I haven't seen you guys in a minute. And then I saw that, and I was just like, yo, I got hyped. I was just like,
yeah, that was a fun Andrew. One. That was pretty cool. It was crazy seeing the judges in person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Seeing like
they're super scary, like on TV and everything. And then you talk to them in person, they're all like super fun and like lovey-dovey and like
for
cool.
Real?
Yeah, they're really
Mark
cool.
Mark Cuban, all them.
Yeah, they're. They did get. It got scary though, because there's one part where we have to be on the side, but we're still in the shot. But she was talking about her thing, and like they were like coming at her with questions, and like it was getting pretty intense. We were like, oh,
just sitting there like,
we're like, dang, like, she's just 10.
Like, chill. Yeah, that's funny, man. Yeah,
it was a cool experience.
What, going back to a little bit to your career, what were some learning barriers that you had when you first started off that you had to get past?
I definitely feel like definitely a confidence thing, especially when it comes to content. I definitely found myself not being confident enough in the stuff that I videotaped or made. Like, I wouldn't feel confident to post it. And being a dancer and choreographer, like trying to get booked for jobs, like you have to post content. You have to post things that you want to see yourself being in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So for myself, like I used to be scared posting choreography, and I told myself I want to be able to be a choreographer one day. So it's like, how can
you
I?
You can't.
Yeah. I had to fight that feeling and fight that confidence. So it's just like, I told myself and ended up realizing because a fan, I can't even remember what, but like, I do remember this is one fan that told me, and I told them out, they were like, I love this piece so much that I was like, oh dang, like, thank you. Like, I didn't think that it was like, you know, that great, but it means a lot, like coming from you. And they were like, you know, honestly, like, don't think that people aren't gonna not like your stuff, because they are not gonna like your stuff. There's always gonna be people that dislike your stuff, but
yep.
Just know that there's always gonna be one person that likes your stuff.
That's gonna, and, that it's gonna resonate with.
And that might motivate and inspire them to show this person, which inspires that person to show this person, and et cetera.
I love that.
It's a domino effect. So that stuck with me. I was like, wow, like that's true. Like, even though I post something, there might be people that might not like it, and they don't even have to comment. So it's like, if they're not liking it, they won't comment. So why do I pay attention to that? Like, I should be paying attention to the stuff that is being sent to me, you know?
Yeah. And it's very, very easy to feel like that because of the way social media is today. Mm. It's a new dynamic. You
Definitely.
Know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of knowns about how it affects like the human brain and everything, mm-hmm. right? So the fact that you got past that, do you think is a big reason as to why you're where you're at today? The fact that you're confident?
Definitely. I think without being confident in what I'm posting when it comes to content, I think just has to do with me being myself. Like, if I'm not creating something that's fully genuine and like I'm not doing it for me, then it's like, why am I not doing it? Like, why am I even doing this in the first place? So like nowadays, like if I post something, I post it for me. Like, I do it because I had fun. Like, or I post it because I like this picture. Like, I don't do it.
You could care less what the numbers are now, right?
Exactly. I could care less what the numbers are. Like, I'm only doing it for my aesthetic. I'm only doing it for my own appearance, not for everybody else's pleasure. You know?
Yeah, that's important, man. Posting ghosts.
Yeah.
Just post it. Don't even worry about what's coming after. And I think everybody can resonate with that. If you're watching or listening to this, you know that comes into your head sometimes where you think too much about something you posted. Like, oh, should I take it down? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like,
especially as like a creative or an artist. Like, if you're trying to go places, like, don't think of your page as like, if you're trying to get to that point, like, don't think of your page like as something you do or post for fun. Like, think of it as a resume. Like, I think of my thing as a resume. If I post pictures, I'm gonna post pictures that I see myself being in an advertisement or like a magazine or like stuff like that. Like, I try to be creative when it comes to certain things that I do or post, because if I'm gonna post it, this needs to be used for something, if that makes sense. So if I have people that wanna find me or like use me for an advertisement, like they could like, okay, let's see what he has. Like, oh, this looks like cool. Like, maybe, well, like, we could do something with him. Like, he has an aesthetic for this type of thing. Like, maybe. So, you know.
Very, very good point, man. Because you got to be able to make moves that set you up for opportunities in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, that goes perfectly with what you said. You can't expect to be, this is a stretch, but you can't expect to be the president and not make moves, not get into politics and just expect, you know what I mean? You got to make moves to get to where you want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as far as like a choreographer, what were some like learning curves that you had to get past as a choreographer? Cause it's one thing to dance good, but it's another thing to teach other people how to dance. Right.
Now, that was the thing that I had a hard time with, because in the beginning, I think, I first started out like wanting to start teaching people that were already as good as me. And starting out as a choreographer, it's very bad to start teaching people that are already good, because when it comes to teaching, they're going to learn it and they're going to get it down. So when it comes to people that don't get it and have a hard time getting it, you're going to have a hard time working with them.
Yeah.
You feel me? Yeah. You're not going to understand, like, ugh, you're going to get annoyed. You're going to irritate yourself and get frustrated and blame them for you not knowing how to help them, you know? So for me, it was just like, damn, like, I had to start off with kids. My coach, Val, she put me, started off with kids, like, because kids are the hardest to work with. And it makes you...
Because they're a short attention span and everything.
The patience you need is very, very high. And that's something I had to learn. And that's why I have so much patience. Like, when it comes to teaching people, like, I learned so much teaching kids. Like, having to get them to, like, focus and talk, go certain ways, use different outlets and routes to help them understand stuff. And, like, I feel like even sports as a background, I feel like helps me with certain things. Because I can use, like, certain, like, techniques or, like, certain drills or, like, certain things for, like... And I'm like, how many people play sports here? Like, okay, if you played soccer, just imagine this. Like,
blah, okay, blah, blah. Like little analogies. Little analogies. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, but I think definitely being able to teach them and have the knowledge and being confident enough what I'm teaching. Because teaching kids, like, it's hard. You have to, they get distracted very easily. It's super easy to get bored as a kid. And, like,
yeah.
And I learned that as a choreographer because they got bored on me easy. And, like, I was like, dang, like, how do I get them? Like, you know, like, you have to do certain things to make them feel comfortable, to help them make this environment around them be something that they can feel comfortable with and make them feel like home, be their most vulnerable with, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the hardest.
Every kid is different too, right? So you got to gotta approach every kid from like a coaching standpoint differently, right?
And I had to realize and pay attention to also as a choreographer, it's not just about teaching the piece because that's all. In the beginning, I was just like, oh, I just want to teach. I just have fun teaching, like, watching people do my dance, but like not paying attention to like caring and being aware of like how they're doing it, or I was just caring for like, oh, like, oh, I'm teaching just to get people to see like, oh, Andrew's teaching. So I was so caught up in that and not really paying attention, like getting in depth and focusing on the matter of execution. We call it execution when you dance a move. Like, there's certain executions, you know, like when you tackle people, there's a certain way you need to tackle a certain person on a certain angle, because if you don't have the right momentum, it's
Fundamentals.
Yeah, fundamentals, exactly. Yeah, so there's certain fundamentals definitely I had to learn when it came to teaching. That all came with it, though. But yeah, it was a struggle in the beginning because it was hard. Like, you definitely, like, as a choreographer, like, you have fun watching people get it right then and there. So, like, when you, like, start or you have a couple people that, like, are struggling, like, not getting it, it's like, damn, I want to move on, but, like, I have these three people. So it's like... learning how to be impatient or not be patient. Sorry. Learn how to be patient and work with people that, you know, are having a hard time. Because I have to remember, I was exactly where they were at. Mm-hmm. And if I was them and I asked for help and I didn't get the help, I would be hurt.
Yeah.
And so I always put myself in student shoes, if that makes sense.
No, that's important too. And especially because these kids are like in a vulnerable state. They're trying something that if they don't, if they have confidence issues and they don't feel like they could get better at it and ask you for help, then it's probably like they might just ditch it and go to something else, and you don't want that, right?
Yeah, definitely not. Because I always tell my students, like, even off class, like, no matter how followers I have or anything, like, if I'm investing my time in you, and like, if I tell you to, like, to DM me, and like, if you need help, like, if you want me to watch a video of you and like critique you, give you like critiques on certain things what you need to work on, like, I'll do that. Like,
yeah,
like, I give my time to people that, like, you know, want to benefit themselves and be better, you know, not just be better to please others. Like,
yeah. As a choreographer, how's your creation process like when you come up with a dance?
Oh, I love,
like,
that question.
How does that happen?
I love creating with people and having them watch and learn with me as I create, just because I feel like anybody always learns something from me, even just as I learn from anybody else when I learn from them when they're creating. But for me, I always like to pick a song that I can relate to in a certain way, if it involves, like, in terms of situations, past situations, like, things I'm going through, the way I feel. So when I create, anything I do or choreograph, I tell stories. Everything I do is a story, no matter
what. How so?
Because for me, if I'm dancing to a song that has to do with, say, like, there's this song called Girl Like Me. Her name's by Julianne Sauvillian or something. And then by her, it's featuring her. Like, that one has to talk, it talks about her being an individual who doesn't get loved a certain way. So for me, if I was to pick that song, I would find what situation or find a past situation. If I'm happy now, I would try to put myself in a situation I wasn't before.
Connect
to it. Use a situation. If I was hurt, how would I put myself? How was I feeling then? how now, what is she saying? How can I use what I felt before and use moves that explain words that I feel? If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
So if she talks about, she says like hopeful girl like me, so I would just think of, do something that has to do with feeling hopeful. Like for me, like I talk, like when I explain my style, very expressionate, passionate, what's that word? Just vulnerable, very expressive with my feelings, with my moves. So yeah, literally when I create, I tell a story through everything, if that makes sense. So
no, I think that's very, very, very important to understand, because in any creative art, you're technically telling a story. Like mm-hmm. that's what makes it, yeah, whether it's music, whether it's photography, whether it's this as a mm-hmm. podcast, whether it's anything, like you're telling mm-hmm. a story at the end of the day.
Because I've gone to, even before I became a choreographer, I realized what it felt like to fully give your fullest and be your like most vulnerable during a class. And it's literally the best feeling. And literally, like, I realize it's more important to connect to something and dance to something that you feel you're most vulnerable with. Because if you don't, then you're not going to give your fullest to it. It's just going to end up like, I'm sorry to say it, but it's just going to end up like another TikTok. Like, just being straight up, like, you know, like.
What do you mean by that, though?
Like, just it being moves. Because you're going to see people that. And you'll see people that kill TikToks, but they kill it in a sense because they give their own feeling. They give that extra oomph rather than just...
And you could tell, right?
Like, if I'm going to hit this, like, I'm going to, like, okay. feel it. You feel me? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give something that has to do more than just a move. Like, it has to do more...
Not just going through the motions.
Yeah, definitely. So when I create, it has to do all based off of how I feel, what I'm going through, what I've been through.
Okay, so that's funny because the way you just explained that is very similar to example, like for how artists make music, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have to immerse themselves in that mood. Like Drake, for example, everybody knows Drake. Like Drake, when he made that album, I think it was Views or whichever yeah. album this last made, he talked about how he needed to go back to Toronto. He needed mm-hmm. to go into the snow because he needed that feeling he needed the atmosphere to make that album, to make the music. Mm-hmm. You can't make art towards something that you're not feeling at that time.
Yeah, and I think relating back to dance and regarding that, I think for us, that's freestyling. Mm-hmm. Understanding, feeling the song. Like for me, when I'm about to choreograph to it, I understand why I'm choreographed to it. If I feel it and I understand, I have a story to connect with it. So that's the first check. The second thing is I freestyle to it. I have to fully understand what she's saying, let my body move.
Let so it, you're just moving.
Just moving. Like, let it flow however, whatever I'm feeling. Just like if I mess up or do something weird, like let it be. Like I'm still letting my body do the uncomfortable thing so I feel comfortable with it. If that makes sense. Because if I were just to try to choreograph to it, start to finish, like it's going to be hard. Like I'm going to like have to think of, okay, like how do I, what should I do for this word? Like no, like if I freestyle to it from the top to the bottom, I understand, oh, when I freestyled, I felt like this or I gave this type of vibe on this part. So I could relate back and like retract, like, okay, I know where I'm at for this part. Like, I see myself doing this on this part. Like, I'm placing out while I'm freestyling what parts I'm going to hit.
Oh, interesting.
And then when I choreograph, I don't start, you know, people when they sing or write, sometimes they'll write from the beginning to end. Obviously, yeah. For me, I don't do that. Is when I choreograph, I'll either start it if I'm feeling a part where I like, I'll start on that, and then if it comes to a part where like, ooh, like I see something tight happen on this part, I'll skip to that part and do all the moments first. So I hit all the moments that are gonna be like the bang of the dance, all the like the parts where people are like, damn, like you know. And then once I have those locked in and set, I fill it in with the transitions, the in betweens that need to be filled in, and those are like the growing part of the pieces. It's like,
so you put the big pieces there first, yeah, and then
make
you worry
the moments first, and then worry about the fill-ins that don't really matter most. If that makes sense.
Is that like standard? Is that what most choreographers do?
Honestly, I don't even know. Everyone has a different process. The way people choreograph is very different from the way I do. Like everybody has their own process. Like, but I've had people where they kind of choreograph like the way I do. They do moments and parts. You know, like it's almost like you have a favorite party, like you have a favorite song, and there's certain parts of the song that you like the
yeah,
most.
Yeah.
Or like the certain parts you like to sing the most or rap.
Like just a chorus. Like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you write the chorus and mm-hmm. then you write the verses around it or mm-hmm. something, for example.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to tie it all together and remember it? Is it just in your head or
retention,
do you write it
muscle
down?
Memory. It's just doing it over and over. So if I start off with the move if I'm saying like hit, I'm gonna do it again repetitively until I remember it. And then once I remember it, I move on to the next part. And then just doing it consistently, it's retention. It's almost like your math tables.
Math tables. Okay, yeah.
It's almost like math tables. Like you do, like you get, it's almost like that point where like you know this number times this number equals that number without even have to do the math in your head, because it's, you just do it so many times.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, so when... It's crazy because it seems like it's like a whole different part of your brain that you're working out. You know what I mean?
No, you definitely are. And muscle memory, that's why, like, you could be the smartest person in the world when it comes to dancing. Like, it's hard. Like, memorizing moves, you're multitasking.
Yeah.
In a sense. Like, literally. It's pretty crazy.
When you finish tying it all together, what makes you decide whether or not that you want to use it, if that makes sense?
Honestly... I think I never even get to that point because I don't choreograph to anything if I don't feel it.
Ah, I like that. I like that answer.
So I'm not going to put my hands on anything that I'm not fully going to invest myself in if I know I'm not feeling it fully.
Okay. If that makes sense. Yeah. And you mentioned this earlier. You're at a point now where you're confident in yourself to where you can make decisions like
and
that.
And that's the thing too. What's hard too is sometimes there are things that I don't want to put my hands on also because I might be, you know, like nervous or like, ooh, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could do that. It's just like, so that's more of a still confident type of thing. And everyone has, you know, they're unconfident about a lot of stuff. And I'm fully not confident with everything that I do, but there are some parts of me that is, you know, inconfident, and that's normal. It's a human thing. And that's also has to do with me being young and, you know, just, it's hard not to compare yourself to others that you want to be like, you know, and it happens. And I even tell my students this, not to compare yourself, but I even still find myself. But, you know, it's a growing process. But
where do you draw your inspiration from?
Honestly, I think Kobe, one of them.
Kobe,
one of them. He was actually, that's growing up, my favorite number was number 8.
Okay.
I think just his drive and just his passion is just anything he does is just to his fullest. Like, remember, like, I feel like for him, his mindset is just like, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it all the way. Like, I'm not going to half-ass anything. Like,
yeah, I could definitely tell that's a quality you have, for sure.
Definitely that. But I also feel like, I think it has to do with the way I was raised, in a sense. Because I feel like there's not really people, or I can't pinpoint certain people that I use for inspiration. I think it's more so a thing that I was grown up with.
Yeah. It's in you. It's like a drive that you have.
It was taught. It's just like an instinct now. It's installed in me.
Pretty much.
By my parents. And, you know, like, I try not to be, or like people are like, oh, like, you're modest, blah, blah, stop being modest. But, like, I try not to be, like, you know, like, I used to have a hard time with accepting, like, compliments. I was so bad in the beginning. But, like, I have to realize now, like, I have such a fan base where, like, I can't just leave these people out. Like, I may feel like, you know, this piece wasn't as tight, or I didn't do as good, but like these people still think it's tight, so I have to give back, you know?
Why do you think you were that way as far as just having a difficult time accepting compliments?
I think it was because I was still, at that time, I was still trying to, I was wishing I was being acknowledged and reassured that I'm doing good by certain people.
So if you didn't get that acknowledgement from those people, other people didn't matter.
Yeah. I felt like I wasn't doing good enough still, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like that came with them not thinking that I'm good enough. It just had to do with, you know, they don't want to see me win. And these are people, too, that have to do with, you know, that might be like hater-like. It's in general, just everybody. But I think most of that part had to be with people that didn't want to see me win. Like, there would be certain people, like, I would look for, like, like, dang, I wish this person like commented, or like, dang, like I comment on this person's like stuff, like,
yeah,
they don't comment on mine, you know, like, dang, is my stuff like really not bad, or like,
you get in your head,
yeah, so like
you start creating these fake scenarios that may not even be the case, right?
Yeah, and it's crazy too, because literally, like, when you create these scenarios, like, they stick in you and they take a toll on you, especially being a creative, because like that one thought could lead you from creating and being unmotivated to do anything for like a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just stuck, and then you're just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know? to get yourself out of that mindset. Like,
it is.
Even if you realize that it's an issue, it's gonna be, it's one of those things where it's like, it's kind of always gonna be an issue if you're a creative. It's always gonna be there, but it's like, you get better at it by working through it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. By realizing that, like, all right, I'm getting in this mindset, I'm conscious of it, let me take actionable steps to get out of it rather than letting it destroy you.
Especially when you're having a bad day, like it's hard being a creative and having to go to work and make people happy and you being at your worst. You know, like it's so hard, but at the end of the day, like you have to realize like these people that you're teaching, like you're making their day. So whatever you had to deal with or whatever you dealt with, like they're gonna make it better. And it's only gonna get better from there. And this is only one day, tomorrow's another, and it goes after that. So literally it's just like don't contemplate and sit in your thoughts and just be hurt over the same thing that you're gonna be hurt over the next day just thinking about it. It's like just forget about it, move on, and you'll grow.
Yes sir. And remain positive too.
Yeah, and that's one thing, like going through stuff and having things on my mind and like being upset and then going to dance, like I want to be upset, like oh, I don't want to teach right now, and then like I get there and like they just bring the life out of me. I'm like wow, like this is why I do what I do, you know. Like,
it's gotta be amazing, man, to do what you love. Yeah, like you make a living out of it.
It's crazy. It's hard, definitely hard. Not, I would say being creative and like, you know, working as an individual, making your own money on your own is hard. Like I wouldn't say I have myself at a point where I'm just settled, like I have everything perfectly fine. Like no, like I still like I need to get a side job still, like I need to get my license. Like I ain't got my license yet. Like, you know, like we all may seem perfect, but there's a lot of things that we all need to work on and responsibilities wise, you know, and I'm still learning. You know, we all didn't grow up the same, so
yeah,
I'm still pushing myself to be better, not for myself, but for everybody that I touch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that you do impact the youth in their lives, that's got to be a big factor too. The fact that like you're not just doing it for you anymore, you're doing it because it's like you said, touching other lives.
Yeah, and that's crazy too, because when it came to sports, like I feel like I always was that type to like give like people advice or like talk to people whenever they need someone to talk to. I felt like I had the words that people were looking for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came to teaching and dance, and I was like wow, like I'm actually like a really like I'm very social with people, like almost like a therapist type, like
yeah,
like I know how to talk to people very very well and understand where they're coming from, like how to relate to them in certain situations, and like, you know, just getting them to know there's always a better side of the building.
Yeah, you know? And you get to express that quote unquote muscle through like dance, you know.
Yeah. Which is dope. Mm-hmm. And I get to express myself, like stuff I go through, I get to be vulnerable and express that through dance. Like I could explain, like I could have a dance choreographed piece, and this piece may be sentimental to me because it had to do with something that had to do with my past or something I went through when I was at a deepest time, so that might help this person going through a deepest time let out whatever they're feeling and they're better.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So it's a blessing being able to see people be better and just be happier off of my movement.
Yeah, it's got to be a good feeling, man. I can imagine. What's next for you, man? Like what goals do you have coming in the near future? Do you have anything planned?
Honestly, right now we're kind of stuck just because of COVID, you know, but I'm kind of doing my best to try to teach as many Zoom classes as I can outside of dance. I teach normally like 2 times a week at the lab. But besides that, you know, I'm trying to get myself now to start to create more projects. So in the future, starting now, like I'm going to be creating, and you're going to see a lot more of just different content than you would normally see from me. More not class-based, more concept video based, like creating creative. My own stuff to a certain song that'll be my work.
Hell, you know, yeah.
Rather than it being for the lab or for all these other things, which is obviously great, but as an individual, if I want to put my work out there and get hired in the future, like I need to start doing these things. So I'm starting to try to take accountability and push myself to do so. But besides that, just waiting for, you know, all this whole COVID thing to shut down so I could, you know, go on tour and everything. Yeah. But it is also hard because people are getting booked right now during this time for music videos and stuff. So I think right now I need to get a manager so I could get back to being going auditions to be a backup dancer.
Yeah.
Because without a manager, you can't get hit up for auditions. So
very true.
I need that. And then besides that, I actually want to get back into acting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get the acting back.
I used to act when I was like younger, and I used to get into it and had a couple auditions and I did really well. I got a few actual callbacks from a bunch of places.
Wow.
And, you know, some of it had to do with me being young and then obviously someone else getting the part. But I actually went pretty far with like some auditions and stuff. So I want to get back into it. Like I feel like I do well, like camera, like talking.
Yeah.
I loved theater when I was younger. I went to a...
Wow, I didn't know any of this.
I went to a performing arts school.
What?
In La Puente from first grade to 7th grade.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was in theater my entire years I was there in choir as well.
I can see that, man. Like if you take the same drive that got you to where you're at in dance and use that towards acting, there's not a doubt in my mind that you'd be successful.
And that's why I feel like it wasn't a surprise to me that, like, I'm dancing, that's my career now, because, like, I look back and I'm like, I've always had some sort of performance base in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's acting, theater, singing, dancing, like, playing the saxophone. I was in jazz band. Like, I played the tenor saxophone, too. Like, I
got all these hidden talents, bro. Yeah, you're like, just dropping on us right now. We didn't even know all this. He went past all that in the journey. No, that's crazy.
I just love putting my hands on a lot of stuff. Just being able to do everything and just, like, it feels good. Because, like, you know, someone like, dang, imagine, like, we have a saxophone here. I wish I'm going to play. Like, oh, I can.
Hey.
We want to hear. Like,
bust it out.
Like, I just want to be able to do everything. But besides acting, too, I want to be able to start getting, I want to start like being able to get into singing, because I do sing a little bit, but I used to have like pipes before when I was younger, but obviously puberty hit it in and, you know, it took away those high notes that I can't hit now, but but eventually I want to be able to get there, especially like my boyfriend, like he sings now, so I want to be able to start making music with him. Shoot. Like,
Be
tight.
Very talented. What's his name, by the way, so we can shout him out?
Marquis.
Marquis.
Yes, he lives in Palm Springs. God, we've been together for about like 9 months now. Yeah, it's been a minute, but
Hey, man got vocals, I'm telling you right now. Yeah. He played me one of his tracks, and keep on the lookout for him, man.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's coming out with the EP soon. It's in the works right now, but trust me, it's gonna be a hit. It's very different. So
fire, man. We're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to continuing to watch your journey, bro. Like I said, very proud of where you're at right now, and very excited to see what's next for you, because you have the drive, you have the talent, and you're doing it. And I'm gonna continue to watch your journey, bro. I'm excited for you. Where can people find you on socials if they want to follow you?
Social media, Instagram is and.venn, and.venn, and then I really don't use anything else. Pretty much, just Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, you can catch all my stuff there. I'm pretty consistent with stuff that I post, so like it up.
Hell yeah, follow him. All right, we're gonna end with that. Let's cheers to end this.
Cheers,
Andy,
this was
fun, bro. Andrew, I love this, man. Thank
this
you.
Was tight.
All right, that's a wrap from Ambiance, Levi,
Drew.
We out. Peace.
See ya.